Wyoming Senator Eli Bebout is finishing his 12th legislative session in the Senate after 14 years in the House. He was first elected as a Democrat from Fremont County in 1986. A few years later, he changed to the Republican Party and became Speaker of the House. He later became the Republican nominee for governor and was appointed to the Senate to fill the term of the late Bob Peck. Bebout recently served as Senate President, making him the only person to be both Speaker of the House and Senate President. For the second time in his career, he's serving as Senate Appropriations Chairman. He joins Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck to discuss his hardline stance on spending and what's behind his focus on education spending.
People get mad at you sometimes. They think you're a little tight on the purse strings and that sort of thing. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, actually, I am a very fiscally conservative, and I've been that way most of my life. It's from my business perspective. But I really go back to my grandpa Sweeler, who was a good strong Democrat, fiscally conservative, and a lot of things when I was around him and worked with him, and I just was raised that way, and it's continued. And I think you need to spend money responsibly, whether it's in your home, your own checkbook, or for the state. And when I look at the state's fiscal situation and the money we spend and the revenues and the expenditures, it's a people's money, and we do the best we can to spend where we need it, but where we don't need it, to be conservative.
One of the things that probably happened when you were away and after you ran for governor and had a couple of years off was there was a lot of spending in the legislature because we had a boom. And I think when you came in was towards the tail end of the boom the last time, like I did. And how much has that impacted maybe your unwillingness to spend a great deal of money now when the revenue is a little bit better?
When I was Speaker, it was, I believe, 99 and 2000, it was very difficult. And we had, they called them coffee cans back then, and we had some that were set aside, but it was almost by accident. And I remember when Mike Sullivan was governor, and one year we balanced a budget on a lady passing away in Jackson. And those kind of things. Then we did the cash basis versus accrual, and we did all these little tricks to take care of it. At the end of the day, we just were so dependent on the revenues for minerals and the volatility of the price. And so that taught me a lesson, and I said, Lord, let's help for one more boom, and we won't be stupid how we spend the money. And so, I remembered that, and we came back, and we worked so hard on LISRA, and we worked so hard on building the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And in 1999, it was maybe $1 billion, and now we're at $8 billion, and thank goodness, because what's happened is that's 20 to 25% of our revenues to run the state. Yeah, that taught me a lot about being conservative and trying to be able to set aside the money for when the boom busts, and that's where we find ourselves now.
So there are people that would say the solution to that worrying about the next bust is to have more revenue come in. You've not been a big tax fan over the years. Couldn't that, though, solve the problem?
Absolutely, but not so much just to go raise taxes. I think you need to broaden the tax base, and we need to wean ourselves as best we can from the dependence upon minerals. And the only way to do that is broaden, and I am supporting a lodging tax. I did that last session. I said that I would support it as president, and it never got out of the House, but I intended on supporting it, and it is now in the Senate, and I believe it's came out of a committee, or it's close to coming out of a committee. If it gets to the floor of the Senate, I will support that. We need to look at broadening our tax base, and yet just not to raise taxes, because part of that, I still think we have a spending problem, and we need to continue to look at ways to reduce that spending. When you look at the state of Wyoming, our number of people, what we spend versus other states, but we do need to broaden our tax base.
Talking about the spending, you've gone very hard after education funding. Explain to folks why.
Well, I wouldn't say very hard. I would say responsible. And what I do is, and just being an engineer, and I look at our surrounding states, and when you look at what they spend per ADM relative to our state, and I think we spend $16,500 to $17,000, depending on a lot of different factors in the model, and the average around our state's about $11,000 for our surrounding states, and when we look at the performance, it's good. I'm not saying we're not performing well, but we're in the same grouping as all the other states. So the question is, and it's merely a question, is why do we spend so much more when we perform at the same level? And I think that's a legitimate thing to have a discussion about. The thing that I do support and have always supported is paying our teachers well. It's never been about not paying the teachers. I just think the whole system, the amount of money that goes into it, there's a better way of doing it. But we have a block grant. I support local control. So the only thing I know to do is look at how we responsibly fund it.
So I'm going to ask you this, because I was here when you developed the model, as you were. How much is this that you got mad about how the model played out?
Well, I think that the model is flawed. I've always felt that way, and the way it's set up. And we rely on consultants that do what they do. And I think there's a better way of doing the model and yet get to the money to where I think it needs to go, to the teachers. You know, we have 600 ghost teachers out there, and we understand what that is. We're paying money for teachers that don't exist. You have to ask yourself, as a taxpayer, is that the way to run a program? Would you do your business that way? Absolutely not. So those are just fair questions. But at the end of the day, we want the same result. We want to do the best we can for the kids, K through 12, for our community colleges, and for our university.
I need to ask you about a bill that you have, and that would be to reduce some of the taxes for oil and gas development. There were people that saw that and thought, well, now, if you're cutting the budget, why do you bring a bill like that cuts revenue?
Well, the bill does not reduce it. It provides an incentive if you want to spend more to incrementally increase your production. So we're not giving a severance tax break to any oil and gas companies. With the reduction and the problems we have with revenues, we shouldn't. That's not what the bill does. The bill says if you want to take the risk to go out there and recomplete an existing well or to bring a well back on that's been shut in, incrementally we'll provide you some relief. So, but you take all the risk. And if you spend $1 million for recompletion and it doesn't pan out, you've lost your money. If it pans out, we're going to give you an incentive for that amount of incremental increase. I think that's a good idea. You know, when we look in the world we compete in, relative to the Permian Basin, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, I mean, they are really rocking and rolling down there in terms of the money and the rigs and all that. Wyoming is not quite there, and people are taking their dollars from our state and spending them there.
The final 90 seconds I have, I want to ask you about the legislature itself. You know, what concerns you? What are you excited about? What's changed?
Well, what I'm excited about is the citizenry and how we have the members from the public do choose to run, but how we have input from the public. And one of the things I've always tried to do is listen and be sure and provide them that opportunity to share with us their concerns. That's the good news. The bad news, if there is anything, is it's just more and more times we get bogged down in government and as a public servant, the time involved. And I worry about down the road that people will not take the time to be public servants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about the Republican Party itself? Because it's changed, and it seems like we're starting to get a few more conservative folks in here. Is that changing things at all?
I think that the Republican Party is a big tent. I mean, I go back to Ronald Reagan, and we're never going to always agree. And as a Democrat, we never always agreed either. And I haven't really changed a lot of my philosophy. It's just I think that the Democratic Party moved way away from where I was, and I really was lined up with the Republican Party. I'm really glad there. I'm proud to be a Republican. But I support that 80% rule. Let's figure on the things we can work on together, the main one being fiscally conservative, less government, you know, people's rights and all that individual responsibility, and then let the rest of it just vote your conscience.
Senator Eli Bebout, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for how many years of service now?
It's been a while.
Both of us, a while. Thank you very much.